Your station for talk and business. AM 790. This is Positive Business on AM 790 with your hosts, Patricia Raskin and Mary Ann Snow. Call 401-437-5000 or toll free 1-888-345-0790. Now, Patricia Raskin and Mary Ann Snow and Positive Business on AM 790.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. I'm Patricia Raskin, and welcome to our wonderful co-host, Mary Ann Snow.
Always good to be here, and man, you have got quite a lineup today.
Today is very exciting. I want everyone to know that we have on an amazing person who's very well known. I'm very excited about this. Our guest on the phone live today is Kevin O'Leary. He's one of the most successful business entrepreneurs. He's a star on CBC's Dragon Den in Canada and ABC's Shark Tank right here in America. And I'm going to tell you more about Kevin, but I want to say hi, Kevin. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I want you to know I'm a great fan of Shark Tank, and you have a lot of listeners today who are listening who are avid fans of this program.
Well, I'm very proud of the show. I'm just thrilled that it supports entrepreneurialism. That's what we need more of in America.
Yeah. Now,
I was going to say, Kevin, you've got Patricia all giddy. She is so excited to talk to you today.
Sorry. So your brand new book is Cold Hard Truth on Business, Money, and Life. And let's tell the folks a little bit about you. Kevin founded and built SoftKey, later the Learning Company, the global leader in educational kids software, negotiated sale to Mattel for $4.2 billion in 1999. Since then, Kevin O'Leary has successfully co-founded, funded, and sold numerous companies in a range of industries, including storage, entertainment, and finance. Today, he's the chairman of the O'Leary Funds, a $1.7 billion mutual fund company. And he's on many television programs, including the co-host of CBC's Lang and O'Leary Exchange and Discovery Channel's Project Earth. Well, Kevin, I think the first question is, you knew as a child that you wanted to be an entrepreneur. How did you know that?
You know, I had a stinging lesson. I think everybody goes through this somewhere in their life. I had my first job at a place called Magoo Ice Cream Parlor. And I was very proud to get it. I brought my bicycle over there, and as soon as I arrived on the second day, actually, after scooping ice cream for everybody the first day, the owner said to me, get down on the floor and scrape the gum from the floor between the tiles. And I said, well, no, that's not what I was hired for. I was hired to scoop ice cream, not to clean the floor. She said, you're hired for whatever I say you're hired for. I own this place. You're going to do whatever I say. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. And she fired me. And I only worked for somebody one day in my life, and I realized it's not so good.
Yeah, you really. But there are also costs of being an entrepreneur, aren't there?
Yeah, I've learned over the years that there's no such thing of balance in life if you pursue the entrepreneurial path. So you're really giving up a lot. And a lot of people don't understand this when they start their journey. To be successful today, and any day, you know, I don't care if it was 100 years ago, you have to give up 24/7 of your life. I often tell a story I teach students these days, and it sounds cruel when you hear this, but it's true. At the end of a class, it was an evening business class, he said to me, give me some personal advice. I've been living with a girl now for 4 years.
I remember this story. I watched it. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, and he said, I don't know what to do. I work so hard. And she said to me that, you know, he had a financial services business he was running as he was finishing off his business degree. So doing school full time, running this business full time, sales of $5 million, never got home to see her. And she said, listen, this is ridiculous. You've got to make a decision. You've either got to pick the business or you've got to pick me, but it can't be both.
And what did you tell him?
I said to him, well, how easy is it to replace the business? You have to make a decision. Which is easier? Can you get a new girlfriend or can you build a business up to $5 million in sales? And he went, wow, you are cruel. I said, well, you better think about it because you're buying your, if you were to marry her because it was his fiance, it's your future you're talking about. Someday when this is over and you sold that business, you'll have achieved freedom. And that's why she's got to suffer now for the long term. She's not the right partner. Now, I'm not Dr. Phil here, but I understand what it takes to be a successful entrepreneur. And, I've never checked back on what his decision was. But if he's a real entrepreneur, he has a new girlfriend now.
Interesting. Well, one of the other things you talk about is admitting weaknesses immediately to yourself, that many entrepreneurs don't do that.
That is true. You know, the fact is for everybody, I don't care who you are, you know, even the great Steve Jobs, who I actually worked for a while, he had a partner in the beginning because his skill set was great marketing and salesmanship, but he didn't know enough about technology to actually advance and create the first, you know, Apple PC. That was Steve Wozniak. That was his partner. So he recognized that, and he gave up in the end 50% of the equity to him. But great partnerships are based on the fact that entrepreneurs know they have weaknesses, and I know that about myself. I know what my skills are, and I know what they're not. And finding people to fill in those gaps is how you become successful. Mm-hmm. So I generally don't like to invest in somebody that says to me, I can do it all myself, I know everything, I don't need any help. Yeah. That's a person that's likely to fail.
Now, Kevin, how do you pick? Because strong personalities. Obviously, you have a strong personality and you have a distinct point of view. So how do you pick them, and then how do you trust them?
You know, I think I have a good sense of, you don't have, when you're in business, you're not trying to make friends, you're trying to make money. I keep telling people that. I work with a lot of people I don't like personally, but I understand why they're successful. And those two are two distinctions. I have a family, I've got friends, but when I invest in businesses, I want to see if that person has the aptitude to execute a business plan. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is very simple. When I make investments, I often ask for control. And the reason I do that, particularly if it's a startup with a lot of risk, I buy 51%, people find that, oh, that's so onerous, why do you want that? And the reason I want it is, let's say I put $1 million up for a new idea, and I, along with the team, the management team that sold me on their vision, set goals in place. So that we say after a year our sales will be X, or our market share will be X, or whatever. Whatever we agree on, I don't care what it is, whatever we agree on. If they don't achieve those objectives, I'm going to fire them. It's that simple. I'm going to hire other managers. Managers are fungible. I find lots of great people. If you can't execute, if you can't set goals and achieve them, then if I'm your investor, I'm going to terminate our relationship. It's that simple. This is about money, not friendship.
Kevin, is it really all about money? And if so, why?
Yes, it is.
Why?
Because in the end, money is the scorecard of success. And I don't, it's not about just money. That's not why I ask people to work hard that work for me. It's about freedom. What do you actually want in life? You want to be free. You want the ability to go anywhere you want, do anything you like, spend your time, which is a finite resource, in a way that pleases you. That is the American dream. And it's not about money. I don't need more money. I need more time. So what money gives me is the freedom to pursue the things that I think are important to me. You know, I sit down every night with my assistant, Nancy Chung, and I look at the next day's schedule. She runs it for me. And I say to her, what's this, what's this, what's this? What am I doing in these half-hour blocks? If there's anything I don't want to do, I simply say to Nancy, I'm not doing that. And there's no one on earth that can make me. That's freedom. That's freedom. And that's what I want everybody to achieve.
Now, that's quite an amazing place to be.
And the only way to get there is money. There's no other attribute you need if you want that freedom. Unfortunately, or fortunately, that's how the capitalist system works. So if you look yourself in the mirror and understand that about money, you're in a much better place.
Do you think that's why Dragon's Den and Shark Tank is so successful? I mean, Shark Tank is in the top 20 shows, and Dragon's Den is what, one or two in Canada?
Number one.
Why do you think the shows are so successful, Kevin?
Because I believe that even a 9-year-old girl watching that show understands viscerally in her gut what it means to be free. Watching her parents toil in a job, if only that idea, that product, or that service they're pitching on Shark Tank could make them $100 million, they'd be free from the burden of life. And that's that. At the end of the day, everybody understands that. And it's so powerful a force that the show gets you and hooks you, and you just can't stop watching. I watch it. I'm amazed, and I was there when we taped it. Yeah. And when I see the thing on television again, I say, wow, was I there? Did I sense that passion? Tonight's show, for example, on Shark Tank, which I just previewed about 15 minutes ago with my staff, mind-blowing. I mean, you see this drama unfold, and it's not like a game show where you're throwing mud balls at somebody and they fall into a pit. That's all crap. This is real life. This is real money, real opportunities, real entrepreneurs, and it's powerful TV.
All right, I want to open this up, folks. Now, I want to just let the audience know that I've interviewed many celebrities, but I have not interviewed someone live where you can call in and speak to them. So this is a great opportunity for you right out there now to pick up the phone and call us at 437-5000, 437-5000, or 888-345-0790. Your questions for Mr. Wonderful himself, Kevin O'Leary, one of the major stars of Shark Tank on ABC, tonight at 8 o'clock. Kevin, someone asked me this last night when I had dinner. She says, here's a question I have for Kevin O'Leary. She says, how do I know if my idea is good? If I'm up there with the Shark Tank and I get to be there, what are the selling points? What do I have to know? What do I have to do?
The biggest mistake, here's a great answer for that. If you look at the threads or the attributes of all of the entrepreneurs that have been funded, and I did this up in the Canadian show with a professor who decided to do his thesis on this. It was a really interesting study. He looked at deals over 7 years, and he did it for the British show called Dragon's Den as well. And here's what he found. In every case, and these three attributes are the same, even though the deals are different in different sectors, different ideas. In each case, the entrepreneur was able to pitch the idea in 90 seconds or less, and the investors understood exactly what the opportunity was. So the ability to crystallize the opportunity so that the investor understands the potential in 90 seconds. So that's a communication skill. But if the idea is complicated and you can't explain it and it takes 5 minutes, you're never going to get funded. So that's number one. Yeah. Number two, and this took a little longer, generally about 5 minutes, to explain why, after understanding the opportunity, why that person or that team or that man or that woman was the right person to execute the business plan. Now, that is something that's very important because you can't do one without the other. And the third, and this is what is the magic that you see in a room when you meet a real entrepreneur, when you can explain the opportunity and you can articulate why you're the right person to execute the business plan, all of a sudden you start to sizzle like an isotope. Something happens where investors want to be part of that person because they look and feel and they have a powerful magnetism of success around them. Those are great entrepreneurs. Those are the ones I want to write checks for.
And I've seen that.
It doesn't mean they make money, but they certainly have the potential.
I've seen that on Shark Tank. I've seen where several of you have looked at someone just by, I mean, they've had a good idea, but there's something about their charisma and their energy and their commitment. That's another thing I've noticed on Shark Tank. You really look for commitment.
Yes, I mean, you know, if somebody isn't committed, they're saying I want to do this part time or it's a hobby of mine.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to invest in. I want to invest in somebody that's willing to give up their life for 5 years to make it a roaring success so they can achieve freedom and wealth, and I want to be part of that. Those are great entrepreneurial opportunities, and even with all of that in place, investors take huge risks in venture capital because 1 out of 17 work. So you have to make a lot of investments to actually make your money back, but when you get a hit, it's huge.
So in terms of success rate from the deals you've made on the shows, how are you doing?
Well, I'll give you some very interesting stats because I do a lot of venture investing. In the years 1992 to 2000, which was the golden years of venture investing, you might remember them as the internet bubble.
Yes.
One in 10 deals returned capital and was successful. 1 in 10. Mm-hmm. Today, the national average in the U.S. is 1 in 25.
Now, is that because there are more people out there doing different deals, that there are more people in the game, or is that because there are also more entrepreneurs?
No. What's happened is that there's no exit. There's no way you can take a small company and take it public before it's time, before it's profitable. The success rates of companies hasn't changed. It's just during the internet bubble, we were willing to buy stocks and companies that made no money.
Right.
No one's willing to do that anymore, and so the ability to achieve success is much harder because they're waiting till these companies gestate to the point where they have positive cash flow, and as the failure rates have always remained the same. So there's still lots of great entrepreneurs, but it's much harder to get a return on investment. Now, Shark Tank, and because of its powerful, Shark Tank's the American Idol of venture capital. 10 million people see the show a week through its repeats. And so at the end of the day, you've got this massive advertising platform. You put any good or service on it, and you're going to, most of the websites explode from people that go there.
Whether or not you accept their deal.
Right.
Right. Yeah. No question. So it's a great, so I only do deals now with people that come on Shark Tank because I want that free advertising. I want them to have that platform. And why not? You know, I do venture deals every year, but this has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. As soon as will you see the deals tonight? Will you see what happens tonight? And you'll see what I mean.
Kevin, I want to ask you, this was in your book, and I found it fascinating. You know, when you sold the company to Mattel, and you were out of work because you had a non-compete for 3 years, and then that's how you got into television. So, again, that was kind of the blessing in disguise, because you had to get out of that industry, and you fell into television, which you've been very successful at. Here's my question. What do you say to folks who have been in companies, who've been laid off, they have non-competes? How do they get back into the game if they can't get into the game they were in before?
You have to stay in touch with people. You know, what I've learned, and this has become easier through the Internet and all the social media that, and the opportunities you have with all of the platforms, the key to staying fresh and vibrant if you're, you know, in a non-compete or you're taken out of the game or you lose your job is to actually stay current with people you know. And that's how the television opportunity came to me and other investments, because I didn't just sit at home doing nothing. I tried to stay current. I'd take them out for dinner, or I'd go and visit them. I'd travel to different cities, go to conferences. You've got to keep your face forward. People that don't do that become stale within about 6 months. It's a huge challenge. And I tell, and today with the fungibility of management, there's so many people losing their jobs for various reasons, performance-based, or the fact that people are downsizing, or, you know, jobs are moving offshore. You've just got to stay in the game. And there's no excuse for being, you know, depressed. You've got to get up in the morning. That's the key. I never got up any later than 7 a.m. when I was unemployed. I just got up and went back to my version of work, which was to look for opportunities.
Mm-hmm. All right. I want to open this up for phone calls again. Folks, this is a great opportunity to speak to Kevin O'Leary directly. Kevin O'Leary is one of the major players in Shark Tank, which is on ABC on Friday nights tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern. So give us a call. Here's your opportunity to ask the master the question about how to be successful as an entrepreneur or any of your issues. 437-5000, 888-345-0790.
So, Kevin, do you think that the shows have been so successful because of kind of the world as it is today and some of the things that are changing and the focus on small businesses and entrepreneurship and doing deals? Or what do you think has, because you've obviously got the timing down. People love the show. So what is the magic behind it?
I think what's changed in America over the last 10 years is that the concept that you could go to college, get a job in a big company, and be safe for life has gone away. The economy has changed so much. There's so much risk in it. So many people have been displaced that many, many, many want the opportunity to be an entrepreneur instead of being an employee. And they've just decided that they'd rather run their own family business or small business than be at the, you know, at the will of somebody else who can terminate their job anyways. There's no security anywhere anymore. So if you're going to be at risk, why not be at risk for yourself? Mm-hmm. Sure, you work harder, but there's something incredibly gratifying about running your own business and being successful doing it. And I think that's what's caught hold in many Americans' hearts, and that's why Dragon's Den has been such a success. There's so many shows trying to knock it off, but there's nothing like the original. And it just, we bring so much money to the table. We've, you know, got a huge, we're a venture capital firm on steroids. We've done, everybody there has been successful in one sector or another, and it brings a lot of money to the table.
Yeah, you definitely have first mover advantage, without a doubt.
What about people who are afraid of being an entrepreneur because of the money issue? I mean, one of the things that I had read that you said that I thought was interesting is that inheriting money can really be a curse, which I thought was an interesting comment, that entrepreneurialism is really a great way to go. But what about people who are really scared? They want stability.
Yeah, you know, that's why being an entrepreneur sometimes is best when you're young and you can take those risks. You don't have a family to support. But even people that do have families to support have to understand that there's a huge risk in doing this. I do feel sorry for people that inherit wealth, because ultimately, if you look at what happens to them, never having challenged themselves to create their own successes, they often become completely unstable in many different ways. They just aren't focused on what matters in life, you know, and I mean, that's not going to happen to my children. I've told them all the same thing my parents told me. I'll pay for their education, but they're on their own when they finish, and good luck to them, because that's how you become successful. You need to have fear That's what matters. I remember the terror I had when I started my first business of going bankrupt. It motivated me so much just to keep working. And I think if somebody had just given it to me on a silver platter, it wouldn't have been the same, and I wouldn't have had any success, I don't think.
Yeah. Kevin, what's the secret to a great entrepreneurial team?
You know, mutual respect is number one, even though you don't agree. Most of my partnerships have been successful, have always been that way. You know, conflict resolution is forced by the fact that to go forward, you've got to resolve it one way or another. The ability to, you know, put aside personal issues and understand that you're not trying to be friends for the sake of friendship. I said earlier, it's about making money, not friends. If you understand that, and the other, and this is more challenging, a little darker and more difficult for people to understand. When you start a business, very often you have a team of people. They're not the same team you're going to have after you pass 10, 20, 30 million in sales. You're going to have to make changes because the business changes. I remember having to fire my best friend. It was brutal, but it was the right thing to do. And I did it because I wanted the business to be successful. Mm-hmm. He was the, you know, one of the founders with me, and it just wasn't working out, and I had to take him behind the barn and shoot him. And I did. And we were very successful. He was one of the founders of SoftKey Software Products. Mm-hmm. He still made money because he owned stock, but he wasn't part of the ultimate success because he wasn't qualified to be there.
Yeah. Kevin, we have a couple minutes left, but I do want to go back to your mother because I know she had a huge influence on your life. And she was the one that taught you never spend the principal, just the interest. And that really helped you to create O'Leary Funds. Talk about that for a minute.
What I learned, this is really an interesting story because, you know, she was a very independent woman, and all of her life she kept what was called a secret 10 account. She used to take 10% of her after-tax paycheck, or a third of it every week, and put it into an account for herself, just a secret account. And she started that 50 years ago. And she used to come back and come home on Thursdays and tell my brother and I had no idea what she was talking about at the time, but she'd say, boys, never spend the principal, just the interest, and never buy a stock or bond that doesn't have interest or a dividend, ever. Mm-hmm. So she would only buy bonds, obviously, that had interest, and she'd only buy stocks that paid a dividend. So she never would buy a Facebook or a RIM or a Nortel or any of these stocks that are highly speculative. She'd only buy ones that would pay a dividend. So she died 4 years ago, and this is what blew me away. Nobody knew about the account. And so when the executor gave it to me and said, you're the executor of the state, and here's your mother's account, and I looked at it, I was stunned. Do you have any idea what only owning bonds and stocks with dividends does over 40 years? Mm. It beats every single market in the world. Mm. So I started to do research. 74% of returns over the last 40 years in the S&P are from dividends, not capital appreciation. Mm. In other words, the stock market hasn't gone up in 15 years.
Yeah.
But if you had dividends, you made money.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you made nothing. That's what she knew. And that's the only way. Now I have billions to invest, and that's the only way I do it. I never own a security that doesn't pay a dividend. So I remember when they offered me Facebook stock. I said, no, I'm not going to buy that. It doesn't pay any dividend. And look at what happened to investors. They got slaughtered.
Mm. Yeah, I think your mother and my husband would absolutely get along well.
Kevin, this has been such a great honor to have you on. Do you have closing thoughts, a message for our audience, a 20-seconder?
Well, I'll leave you with a story that really moved me. I was in San Francisco Airport a few weeks ago, and a girl came up to me. She was 14 with her mother, and she said, are you the guy in Shark Tank? And I said, yeah. She said, I want to be an entrepreneur. And I said, why? Because I want to be free.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story.
Kevin, thanks. Thank you so much for being on this program.
Take care. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Really, thank you so much. Kevin O'Leary, Shark Tank. Bye-bye. This book is The Cold Hard Truth. All right, folks. And it's... we have just a great show coming up. We have Dr. Ravi Rowe, MD, PhD, talking about his book, Emotional Business, Inspiring Human Connectedness to Grow Earnings in the Economy. And then our 4 o'clock hour, we have
Bajat Sharif.
And he is the operating partner and senior vice president of operations for Panera Bread, Holly Bread Group. Very exciting show, and then we have Terry Murray on at 4:30. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Positive Business. I'm Patricia Raskin with my great co-host, Marianne Snow.